the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Today, I want to wrap up our series with Lost in Church. Don't amen me just yet. You know, I think, you know, Pastor Mike said at the onset of this thing, this particular series on Lost was going to pick and pry more at us that are found than the ones that are lost. So sometimes you got to get your house in order before you bring your guest in, right?
That's true.
So we're going to talk about being lost in church. One of the last scripture verses that Pastor used last week was Luke 19:10. I'll be reading out of the New King James. I'm telling you, you don't need the Greek or the Hebrew to understand what Luke 19:10 says. It's simple. It says that the Son of God, Jesus, came to seek and save the lost. Period. He came to seek and save the lost. I'm going to set that aside for a little bit. So I want to talk to you this morning about being lost in church. Being out of position, if you will. And sometimes you think, well, how can you be lost in church if I know where I'm at? How can I be lost? Well, let's look at it. Let's think and look at it this way about being out of position. Any basketball fans in the house? Any Heat fans in the house? Oh, come on. Come on. And on the eighth day, God created the Heat. Okay? No, I'm kidding. Edit that out, please. But if you notice, one of the things, and we're talking about being out of position or being lost, one of the things that coaches do when they're in the last 5 seconds of a basketball game can take forever. Yeah. But I love to watch the playoffs. I don't really care for the regular season because they don't care either. But when it gets into the playoffs and it's win or, you know, lose or go home, win, and that's when they play. So I really enjoy the playoffs. But the coach will sit there and they'll huddle around his chair and he'll draw all these places and these positions, and this goes here, and this guy goes here, and we're going to throw the ball here. But if the guy never makes it, and the ball is passed, and he's out of position, the ball goes out of bounds. In football, there's the same thing. One of the newest things in football, I won't say new, one of the latest things in football that they're doing is they're throwing the ball to a spot now instead of to the open receiver. You know, the behind the shoulder pass and all these good things, it's to a spot. And if the receiver is not where he's supposed to be, the quarterback's going to drop back and he's going to throw and release. And it's up to the receiver to get to the position. But if he doesn't, it's an incomplete pass. Same thing with us. When we come to church, we've got to be in the right position, or when God moves, we'll miss it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss what God has in store for me. So we want to talk about being lost in church. Maybe we can relate to it this way. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, we come to church. Charlie and the gang, I wanted to say that so bad, Charlie and the gang. KC and the Sunshine, okay, never mind. Pastor Charlie and the guys up here, the worship's good. Preaching, you know, the word's good, but we leave empty. You know, Pastor Jimmy prayed, and in his prayer was that today we would leave changed. But, you know, the problem is most of the time we come here and we don't leave changed. We come in here discouraged and we leave just as discouraged. We come in here depressed and we leave just as depressed. You know, we come in here empty and we leave just as empty. There's a problem with that. There's a problem with that. There's more. There's more to it. There's more to this thing called church. And the more is, I love because we've already hit on some of this stuff today. The more is the presence of God. The more is the presence of God. I want more. I don't want to come to church week after week and not be changed. Come in here and listen to the worship and listen to the word and be so consumed with my problems and my issues that I miss or I'm out of place. I miss what God's doing. So I'm here to tell you that there is more. It is the presence of the living God. It is in the manifest presence of God, which I believe the presence of God is in this room right now. I believe the anointing of God is in this room right now. And the anointing of God is what's going to bring change in our lives. I don't want status quo church anymore. I can do church blindfolded. We can do church blindfolded. We know the routine. We come in through the doors and we know we're going to hug somebody's neck and they're going to have a smile or a fake smile, depends on what kind of mood they're in. And not, no pun on you, we have wonderful greeters. I love you guys and thank y'all so much. And I will make fun of just about everybody in here today, including myself. So let's take it with a grain of salt. But we're doing church blindfolded. We come in here and we meander around for a little bit. The video starts, the worship starts. We go through the motions and we hug a neck and we hear the word and we altar call and we may or may not come up. And then we leave and we go home and we wonder why we are still in that rut. It's because we're lost in church. I don't want church as usual. I want the more. And I look around here, and you know what? I can see that you guys have heard the voice of the Lord, and I will go out on a limb on some of y'all. But when I say things, I make eye contact with people, and they think I'm talking about them. I wasn't talking about Pastor Charlie right there, but I just happen to make eye contact with him. But I look around here, and I can tell by the energy and your worship and your praise that we've heard the Lord and we've been found. But my question is, why is there so much difference, why is there so little difference between church and unchurched? Yeah. Why is there so little difference between the lost and the found, the faithful and the faithless? Everywhere you turn, you hear people professing to be of the faith. Excuse me, everywhere I go, everybody where I work, they are born again in their own eyes. But when you stumble in Monday afternoon and you've had about 10 or 12 beers and you've been out all night partying on Sunday night and all these good things, and every word that comes out of your mouth is one of those four-letter words, and it's just hard for me to believe that you've heard the voice of the Lord. Just telling it like it is, I think, or how I see it. But everywhere we turn, people profess to be of the faith. And that leads me to ask, have we lost our impact as a church? As the church as a whole, have we lost our impact on our communities? I would say we have if we're lost in church. Why are there so many decisions for Christ, but so few commitments to Christ? We'll have a time to shout later. Could it be, again, that we're lost in church? 1 out of 10 people professing to be Christian has spiritual growth as a priority in their life. In other words, there are 9 people that come to church and go through the motions. There's that one person that wants to know more about God. They want to know about His Word. They want to know about the Holy Spirit. They want to know about healing. They want to grow spiritually. 9 out of 10 don't in a poll that was given. They just think that they will go to church, do their thing, and go home. We can grow mega churches with large buildings, big budgets, tons of people, but without a commitment to Christ, without being sold out to God and His Word, then we're nothing but just another organization. I don't want to belong to another club where I pay my dues. I've been there and I've done that. I don't want church to become a club. I don't want it to become an organization. Where do you go? I go to Gateway Family Church. We just do our thing there. I don't want it to be that way. I want people to come in here and experience the presence of God. I want the lost person to come in here and be so convicted. You know, I've read in the past, and to me that's sad, because everything I hear about God and how He moved and how wonderful it was always in the past. I'm really, really tired of that. Yeah. I'm ready to live the experience. I'm ready for God to interrupt the preaching of the Word because a lost person walks in the door. Excuse me, but what I do up here is not that important when somebody needs to be born again. I'm ready to be interrupted. I'm ready to, while I'm preaching, I'm ready to be interrupted because somebody brings somebody sick through the doors and they need to be healed. You know, I want to live the experience. I don't want to read about what God has done anymore. I want to be about what God is doing. But if we're out of position, if we're lost in church, we're not going to see it. I want to belong to the ecclesia. That's one of those big fancy words. I mean, the called out ones. I want to belong to the called out ones. I want to belong to the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want a place where I can come and be equipped for the work of the ministry. I want a place where I can come and be healed. I want a place where I can come and be delivered. I want this to be a place where people can come and be encouraged. This to be a place where people can come and be convicted. What? Be convicted? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I want the presence of God to be in here. If we're lost, we're out of place, we're not going to see it. Every time we come together in the name of Jesus, something should happen. Something should happen. I'm not talking about something physical where we see somebody fall down or they get a shake and they run around and run the pews and do all these things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about every time we come together, something on the inside of us spiritually should change. Anytime we enter into the presence of God, something should change. We should never walk away from the corporate gathering and not be changed. We should never walk away from here and God not have done something in our lives. We all have to have our personal relationship with God. But sometimes we get blinded by the world around us. There are people who believe church membership is going to get them to heaven. You think I'm kidding? There are people who believe that because their name is on a roll at a church, that they're going to heaven. There are people who believe that their traditions are going to get them to heaven. But I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. Especially here in the South, in the Bible Belt. Many people believe that I'm a good person, therefore God will overlook my sin. No, He will not. Acts 4:12 says there's no other name given by which man can be saved except for the name of Jesus Christ. So if you don't confess Christ as your Savior, I don't care how good you are, how hard you work, whatever you do in the name of church, it will not matter. Somewhere in here, I know we're going to have opportunity to shout. I just feel it coming on. I know it's there. So let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer this one because probably you couldn't answer it anyway. So what does God think about our 21st century church? When the Lord looks down from heaven and He looks down at us, what do you think God sees? Does He see people who are wanting to be holy and repentive? And I'm not talking about holier than thou, where we're walking on water and you can't wear a skirt, you can't wear your makeup. I'm not talking about that. See, and I happened to see, I made eye contact with somebody that had a skirt on, see? I'm not talking about that type. I'm talking about people who want to be with the Lord. Does He look down and see holiness and repentance, or does He look down and He sees something completely different? For the most part, I think He sees something completely different. And only God, being Himself, could look down from heaven at the mess and say, it was still worth it. It's still worth it. My son dying is still worth it. It may not be what I want it to be, but it's going to be eventually because I'm going to keep working it. God's going to keep working it. He's going to keep pressing in. Here's the thing. I believe that our prayers are being answered because there are people right now who are living like they want to. They're living like the world. But because we're praying for these people, the Holy Spirit's drawing these people, I believe that it's going to be what God wanted it to be. One day it's going to be exactly the way God intended it to be. May not be on this side. Maybe on the other side. But it's going to be. All right. Let me get back where we were. Does he see holiness, repentance, or does he see something completely different? The Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, dwells on the inside of us. The Bible says that the Spirit of the living God lives in us. But instead of acting like it, most of the time we do our own thing. We say, this is my body. I live how I want to live. Do what I want to do. Don't have to worry about it. These people are the ones that are disconnected from God and others. In fact, these people, God's will is replaced with a will to please their self. But the will to please God is replaced with a will to please themselves. The moment it becomes about me, myself, and I, we are lost. The moment my relationship with God, now I'm not talking about your personal, I have to have a personal relationship with God. I have to have my alone time with the Lord. But I'm talking about the moment it becomes all about me, myself, and I am lost. If it feels good, they say do it. Morality is lost in a sea of self-indulgence. That's why Paul said the whole creation is groaning. If we listen, we can hear the groanings of our lost world. John said, he who has ears to hear, listen. But if we're out of position, we won't be able to hear. If we're out of position, we won't be able to hear. Can you hear the cries of young girls with unwanted pregnancies because they were searching for love and couldn't find it? We need ears to hear. Can you hear the bitter words spoken by a couple who once vowed to love and honor one another, but now they're standing before a divorced judge? Can we hear the moans of the drug addicts, the homeless, the outcast? If we're out of position as the church, we won't hear that. But if we have ears to hear, we will also hear the voice of hope. If we'll listen, we'll hear the groans and the despairs of the world around us. But if we'll also listen, we will hear that there is a voice of hope. The voice of hope is coming and it's saying, I came to seek and save that which is lost. I said this earlier, I don't want status quo church anymore. I don't want church as usual. I want to encounter God's presence every time we walk in the doors. Every time we come together, I want to walk into the presence of the Lord. Again, we've got to have our personal relationship with God, but when it comes to a church, when a church comes together, it is a glorious thing. I mean, when a church comes together as one, I mean, it is awesome. But in the same way, if a church can't come together, it's just as bad. So I don't want us to be out of position as a church. I don't want us to be lost in church. So how do we position ourselves to be found? How do I, and again, this is one of those messages that I could have sat on the front row and had my book and read it, and it would have been just for me. Because I'm telling you, I'm not where I need to be. I'm not where I want to be with the Lord. I've got some work to do. And if we're all honest, everybody in here has some work to do. We all have some work to do. So how do we reposition ourselves? How do we position ourselves to be found and not to be lost in church? Quick, two things that we're going to go through. The first thing is you have to avoid the drought. Avoid the drought. The drought of the Word of God. Hurricanes level cities. Tornadoes destroy homes. Blizzards can shut down entire states or coastlines. All three of these destroy countless lives. But do you know that lightning kills more people in the United States than all three of these combined? Now you know. Lightning kills more people in the United States than all three of these combined. somewhere in the Bible, I know it's in there, it says that little foxes destroy the vine. The small thing that we overlook destroys the vine. People don't take lightning as seriously as they should. The reason why lightning kills more people than all three of these is because when you know a hurricane's coming, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to get in your car and you're going to jet lag the hurricane route. Of course, if you're here in Alabama, you're just going to watch the wind blow. But if you live down south and a hurricane's approaching, you're getting in your car and you're leaving. Why do you think the horns go off when tornadoes are in our area? Because they can kill us. So the horns go off. What do you do when you hear the horn? You jump into that middle room with four walls around it, or jump in your tub with your mattress over your head. I've done it. Call me crazy. Of course, we don't have to experience anything with blizzards, but up north, when they know that the weather's coming in, some people ride it out. Some people leave town. But when you hear thunder, do you rush inside? Now, if my wife were in here, she absolutely will. If she hears thunder, she's beeline. And she'll call me and say, bring the kids. And I say, okay. But when you hear lightning, or when you hear thunder, when you hear thunder outside, do you run in? Or do we casually stroll in, unaware of the dangers above? When it comes to the weather, we don't always see the danger. Nor do we take the danger of not reading the Word of God as seriously as we should. When it comes to the Bible, do you find yourselves having more pressing things to do? Come on, we've all said, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to take the 90-day challenge and put it on Facebook. And the day one, I completed day one, and then a week later, we're looking for you and you're nowhere to be found. That was me. You know, we make these plans that, hey, I'm going to get down, I'm going to read my Word because I want God to speak to me. And something always happens. Something always distracts us. Either the phone rings or the doorbell goes off or the big knock at the door or the kids wake up from a nap. And I've heard that they take naps. But the kids wake up. There's always something to distract us. You know, now kids start fighting. You know, I'm good with that one. But something always hinders our time in the Word. I find that very strange. Why would that happen? It's just the Word. We're reading the Word. I believe that the devil knows that if we get the Word on the inside of us, that we are unstoppable. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Satan would love nothing more than to lure us away from the Word of God. And believe it, most of the time we help them out. Most of us, and again I say most of us, I'm putting me in there, we only read bits and pieces of the Bible without allowing it to affect our lives, attitudes, or actions. And when we do sit and read, are we applying it? You know, I said something a couple weeks ago when I preached about being a proactive Christian versus a reactive Christian, and still working on that. You know, I've still got to get it in my mind that, you know, I've got to pray about everything I do. I'm going to pray and I'm going to count the cost. Instead of going through it and then messing up and then having to come back and ask the Lord to forgive me. Droughts don't appear overnight. A drought does not appear overnight. It develops slowly. Avoid the Word today, and it becomes easier tomorrow. Avoid the Word the next day, and it becomes easier and easier to stay out of the Word of God. Before you know it, you'll begin to wither up. You'll begin to dry up. The lost in church are withering from a lack of spiritual water. That is the Bible. You know, Ephesians 5, 25 and 26 says that husbands are to cleanse their wives in the Word. We need to be washed daily in the Word of God. You need to be washed daily in the Word of God. Revelation 22:17 says, whoever is thirsty, drink from the water of life. We can't survive without water. Not for a long time anyway. Psalms 119:9 says that living by the word of God keeps us clean. Deuteronomy 32:46-47 says, set your heart on the word of God because it is your life. Word's very important. The word of God is very important. In John 4:32, Jesus said that the word of God is food for the soul. So get in, stay in, and live the word of God. If you want to avoid the drought, if you want to avoid being out of position or being lost in church, get in the Word. Number two, and I was told we're going to be short today, and I almost promised them. The second thing we've got to do to avoid being lost in church is to have repentance in the pews. You know, there's some people that think, and Pastor Mike touched on this a little bit last week, that, you know, once saved, always saved, or I can live how I want to live, and I'm not debating like he said. I'm just going to tell you this, that if I right now, because I do, we all do, fall short, we make mistakes, we do the wrong thing, but in my life right now, if I don't repent of that, it eats at me. You know, I feel horrible. You know, when I fall short or when I do something that I know that I did wrong and I know that God's not very pleased with me, you know, that eats at me on the inside. That's conviction. Let me tell you, I'll say it this way, that I believe that a true Christian is not one that has everything right. It's, a true Christian is not the one that does everything right, that doesn't make a mistake or doesn't fall short or doesn't do any of that. To me, a true Christian is somebody that will repent when they make a mistake.
Amen. Yeah, that's true.
I think about David. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. David was an adulterer. He was a murderer. Oh my gosh. But he was a man who repented. Let's look in Revelations real quick, and we'll come back to David. I get excited about being, and I get ahead of myself. Let's look at Revelations 3:15-16. Actually 14:15-16. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. The three types of people in this passage of Scripture. You got hot, you got cold, and you got lukewarm. The hot ones are the ones that are on fire for God. The hot ones are the ones that the Holy Spirit has dominion over their life. These people are the ones who are led by the Spirit of God, not by the flesh. The hot ones are the ones that are taught by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Comforted by the Spirit of God and not by the flesh. You know, one of the biggest reasons why people why they say they started drinking and become an alcoholic is because they didn't feel good. They were depressed or they had these issues, and so they thought that replacing that with alcohol made them feel better because it alters your state of mind. But the ones that are hot, the ones that are on fire for God, they're comforted by the Spirit of God. The ones that are hot and on fire for God are even convicted by the Spirit of God. Conviction is good. And people say, you know, that you don't hear it preached. I don't hear it preached a lot. I don't hear conviction preached a lot. But conviction is good. Conviction to our soul is like pain to our body. Pain is an indicator that something is wrong with you. Conviction is an indicator that something is wrong on the inside. If we didn't have pain for our bodies, it would be so easy to walk down the beach, cut your foot, and you keep going, having a good old time. The next thing you know, you fell out because you bled out. But because we have pain, the moment my skin is cut, it hurts. And it allows me to take care of the problem before it becomes an issue. Conviction to us is the same way. The first sign of pain, what do? You want to get it fixed. We better learn at the first sign of conviction, we had better get it fixed. So conviction is good. The hot ones are the ones who've been through the fiery trials and they come out with stronger faith. They're not perfect, but they're striving for perfection through the Lord. Those who are cold are the ones who knowingly have rejected God. They're not saved, nor do they want to be. People actually come to church for other reasons than God. Can you believe that? People actually come to church for other reasons than God. They have their own agenda. They're more concerned about man's opinion about them than they are God's opinion. Maybe they come just to be seen. Or maybe they come to see somebody. I can remember when I was 13, I went to church for all the wrong reasons. She was 14. So I went to church for all the wrong reasons. Just say it. But people come to church for all the wrong reasons. They come to ease their conscience. Then there's the lukewarm. Let's camp here for just a little bit. Because I think we can learn something here. The lukewarm ones are the ones who are outwardly religious. They say the right thing. They even do the right thing. But they're not committed to Christ. They're part-time Christians. I'm not even going to say the song I was thinking about. No, I will not say it. They're part-time Christians. They're casual Christians. They're Christians when it benefits them the most. It's funny how we can wear several different faces depending on who we're around. I can put on my Christian face this morning because I know I'm going to be in church. But Monday afternoon when I go to work, I can put on my work face. And in my work face, I can say a couple things that maybe my Christian face wouldn't let me say. With my work face on, I can do a couple things. I can take an extra long break, or I can take something from the company that doesn't really belong to me. That's with my work face on. But with my Christian face on, I wouldn't do that. And then with my just don't care face, I'll do whatever, say whatever, go wherever, be whatever I want to do. Christians, when it benefits us. On the day of judgment, these people will say things like, I was a good person. They'll say, I've been baptized. They'll say, I was a faithful church member. I was even a deacon at the church. But none of these answers will satisfy the Lord on judgment day. The Bible tells us that we must be one of His. We must know God's voice and respond in obedience. Lukewarm is not an option. I beg you, don't come in here and live one way and live the other way outside. Let who you are be who you are. Be what you are in here, out there. Because people don't need to see something other than what you really are. Hypocrisy is a strong word. But hypocrisy does more harm to Christianity than anything else does. People who profess to be Christians and live like they want to live, does more harm for the kingdom of God than the enemy coming against them. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of coming to church and living one way in here and living another way out there. I'm tired of seeing people that way. Matthew, the 23rd chapter, Jesus deals harshly with hypocrisy. You go home and that's your homework, read the 23rd chapter. The whole chapter deals with the scribes and Pharisees. It deals with the church folk and how they were one thing on the inside, completely different. They were one way on the outside, completely different on the inside. We must be willing to allow the Spirit of God to check our hearts, mind, will, and emotions. And then if there's anything in there that doesn't need to be in there, we've got to remove it. Now, we've got to repent. This brings me back around to David. I love David. David inspires me. Not because he was an adulterer. Not because he was a murderer. Not because he did his own thing and it got him in big time trouble. But what I love about David is that when he made a mistake, he was quick to repent. That when he made a mistake, he was the first one to repent. Because he knew that what he did wasn't necessarily against the individual, but his sin was against God and God only. I like David. Just saying. We must listen for the Holy Spirit's conviction and immediately respond with repentance. The saddest thing to see is somebody walking around thinking they're all right when they're not. Pastor Charlie, would you come up this morning, please, sir? I could go on with this, but let me ask you a question. If lately you've been feeling more hypocritical than holy, more critical than caring, have we put limits on water who will forgive? Have we been seeking the gifts rather than the giver? Maybe we need a part four on lost. We can talk about forgiveness and we can talk about who we seek. Have we been spreading more gossip than grace? Has the intimacy with God dried up? If we answer yes to any of these, then we're lost in church. If you answered yes to any of these, and I've already had my off time. Like Pastor Jimmy, I've already preached this message about 5-6 times to me. So if you answered yes to being more hypocritical than holy, more critical than caring, if you were walking around and you're not willing to forgive someone that's wronged you, you've been seeking what God can give you more than you've been seeking God. If you've been spreading grace or gossip more than you have grace, then we're lost in church. It's time to reposition ourselves to receive. Will you stand with me this morning? Why do you think Jesus said, return to your first love? Because he knew we would walk away from it. Revelations 2, 4. I'm just going to read it. It says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And the repentance I'm talking about is not I sinned. The repentance is I'm out of position. My prayer is, God, help me to be at the right place so that when you do speak or when you do move, I won't miss it. Because when God moves, when God speaks, it's not only necessary for me, but it is also necessary for others. I think about how many times someone else has missed something because I was out of place. I don't want to be lost in church. But if you've answered yes to any of these, I want to pray for us. First, I want to pray for anyone who, no matter what they did, would never be in the right position because they've never asked Christ to be the Lord of their life. You'll never be able to get into that position unless you first are born again. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes with me for just a moment. Please be sensitive to what the Lord is doing. If there's anyone in here this morning that would say, Michael, I'm not where I'm supposed to be because I'm not even born again. If that's you, would you slip your hand up and just slip it up and then you can put it down? And guys, will let's pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for giving your Son on the cross to die for me so that I can live. I repent of my sins. I accept you as my Lord. And from this day forward, by your help, I will live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys give God a hand clap of praise. You didn't see it. I saw it. Thank you. Now, for us, the rest of us. I don't know if you'd be willing to say, hey, yeah, I'm lost. Sometimes it's hard to admit. It's hard to admit amongst fellow believers that, hey, I'm lost. I'm not doing some things right. I'm not where I need to be. I've missed God. I'm going to ask, if that's you, if you would step out of your seats and come down to the altars. I really feel strong about what God can and will do for us this morning. The good thing about this altar call is you get to do all the work. Because only you really and truly know where you're at. I'm not saying we're sinners and if we died today we would go to hell. I'm not saying that. I just want to be in the right place to hear from God about my life and others. Father, in the name of Jesus today, Lord, we recognize that we can be out of position. We can be lost in church. And I pray for every one of these who made their way down to the altar, because truly, God, you're the only one that can help us change. And until we actually start, until we actually initiate the change, I believe we'll stay right where we're at. And today, Lord, we've taken a step forward. And I thank you, Lord, that the moment we took a step forward, you came running toward us. Like the prodigal son, Lord God. The father looked from afar off and saw his son running before the son saw him. So today, Lord, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because we took those first steps. God, you are running after us. And I thank you that today, Lord God, that today, Lord God, we are going to find ourselves in the right position. Lord, I repent. I repent, Lord God, because I found myself in the drought because I've not been in my word like I should. Lord, I repent because I've allowed things to go on longer than they should before I've repented of those issues. God, I don't want to miss one more thing that you have for me. I don't want to miss one more thing, God, that you have that will help somebody else. I don't want to be lost in church anymore.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.